nothing's more scarier than fruitcake, but if there was a close second, it would be the closet door being opened behind you.
In a world where only the strong survive, there comes a time when the only way to settle the score is a one-on-one battle to the finish. Two entrepreneurs enter, but only one of them leaves. It's the Entrepreneur Showdown with Joe Cassandra and Dan Franks. Now, on to the showdown.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Entrepreneur Showdown. I am your host, Dan Franks, and coming on shortly, my partner in crime, Joe Cassandra, and also coming on shortly, two more partners in crime that we're welcoming for this special holiday mashup edition of the showdown, Jared Easley from Starve the Doubts and Cynthia Sanchez from Oh So Pinteresting. And
Happy holiday.
Welcome for that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the introduction, Dan.
Yeah. So first of all, I'd like to do a little housekeeping before we get fully started. If you're listening on the live Google Hangout and you're familiar with our format of the Entrepreneur Showdown, you know that we go three strong rounds, finishing with a main event. And tonight's main event is actually going to feature you, the studio audience, as they say. So anybody who's listening and wants to participate in the main event, you can use the question and answer feature on the Google Hangout event page that you see there, and leave us any questions, comments, concerns, mean jokes, anything you want to be part of the main event that will allow you to do so. So that's for the live audience. And if you're listening via podcast right now, head over to holidaymashup.net and you can see the live video of everything exciting that we're doing. And you can see Jared's crazy, I guess I call them antlers. I'm not real sure what you call them.
And, yeah, I see some of the comments in the on the page right now, and I'm going to report abuse.
Okay, so we're going to report abuse. So if you missed last week's Google Hangout of the Holiday Mashup, you can also check that at holidaymashup.net, and you can see where Cynthia Sanchez was accused of some kind of abuse, so maybe Jared's the one getting abused now.
Yes, it's your turn now.
Right. Let the record show that I'm offended.
Jared's offended and easily offended, so with Jared, it's just not your day, man.
Hey, man, that's the holidays. Bah humbug.
There you go. Right. Well, then, for the show notes of today's episode and a whole lot more, you can head on over to entrepreneurshowdown.com. But with that, let's get on to Joe with round one.
Round one.
Well, in round one today, usually we debate a topic, but we're going to include all four of y'all with some very intriguing debate-type Christmassy topics. And one of the first ones we're going to talk about is, when should you start listening to Christmas music? And I say you should start listening immediately on Thanksgiving, not before and not after. On Thanksgiving, you listen, just start listening to Christmas music. Jared, what do you think?
Joe, I thought you were going to say that, and I'm going to go with the unpopular road here. I love Christmas music, and I think it's okay if I suddenly have that urge mid-November. So judge
mid-November?
Me if you will.
Well, are you shopping in mid-November too?
I love to spend time with my wife, and I will confess that one of her passions is shopping, so I am guilty by association.
But what about Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is getting overlooked, and that's the more family holiday, would you say, because we're being thankful for everything.
Oh,
and
not
you're
only
overlooking
are we,
that.
Not only are we thankful, we go out on Black Friday and then you know, push people down and trample on them as a sign of gratitude. So,
do you use horns to, like, ram people over?
I'm not going to confirm or deny that. But I do. I'm all about the holiday season, and if that's mid-November, you know, it is what it is. So that's my humble opinion. I like Christmas music all year long, Joe. What are you going to do about it?
Well, there's some radio stations that do, like, Christmas in July or something. That is, like, hell on earth. You can't do that. You're not allowed to. Cynthia, when do you start listening to Christmas music?
Not by choice, but my kids say I have to wait till after Thanksgiving. I got really, really scolded because I started humming a Christmas song while I was cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Okay, that was just not allowed. It was not time yet. So I have to wait. I've been overruled. I've been outvoted. I have to wait. I don't feed them, so I might as well follow their rules on when I can play Christmas music.
Are these your kids you're talking about?
They are my kids.
And yep, who taught them that? You didn't teach them that, I guess.
No, that must have come from the other side of the family.
From the daddies. The exactly, daddy side did that.
Exactly. They must do that. So, they always have the weird stuff over there.
Gosh. Dan, what are you doing?
What am I doing? I thought I'm a co-host. I have to answer some questions here.
Yeah.
And the question is, when is too early or when should you start? I think you should start on Black Friday whenever you start your shopping. So you should not start on Thanksgiving because that's still kind of pumpkins and pie and all that stuff. But you should definitely start immediately whenever you start your Christmas shopping. So they should coincide one and one.
I don't know about that. I guess no one's with me. I say Thanksgiving is you start listening on that day while you're driving to the in-laws, which you're not going to like to do. So you need to cheer yourself up before you do that. So you listen.
Joe, you're going to get in so much trouble for saying that.
Probably, but I won't tell my wife I'm recording this. Okay, we're going to move on to another topic. Some people, they open Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, not Christmas. I think Christmas Day is the only time you should open presents. You don't get to open one present. You don't get to open all your presents on Christmas Eve. You open them all on Christmas Day. Isn't that right, Cynthia? You agree with that?
I do not agree with that.
Thank you.
Wow.
You open one present Christmas Eve from the family to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then Santa comes after all the kids go to bed. And then all the rest of the presents get opened up Christmas morning.
Jared, you agree with that? Is that what you're saying?
You know what, Joe? I'm kind of old school. I kind of like the idea of opening them on Christmas. So I'm going to have to go with you on this one.
There you go.
That's not old school. That's just how it's supposed to be.
But people start opening them on Christmas Eve.
Well, that's because they're impatient.
Included.
Okay, Joe, once you start having kids, you're going to start hearing, Dad, we want to open one, just one, please, just one. And you're going to be so exhausted. And you know you have 3,000 other things to wrap, and you just want those little guys to go to bed. So you're going to give in, and you're going to say, okay, just one, and then you go to bed. And that's how it starts.
So it sounds like you give in on Christmas music and opening presents. So you give in on a lot of stuff. Is that how it works around your house?
On some things. It's all about balance.
Oh, goodness.
Well, Jared, let me jump in on this. I'm sorry, guys. I've got to ask, and this might be drawing it away from the subject a little, but since Cynthia was saying, you got to wrap the presents and get everything going, does Santa wrap presents or does he not wrap presents?
At my house, Santa wraps.
Well, now why would Santa use his time wrapping all the presents he built? I don't understand that.
The elves wrap them. He doesn't wrap them. He doesn't do crap.
Well, what does Mrs. Claus do?
He drinks eggnog and waits for Daddy.
Cynthia,
to come.
I want you to create a board on that.
She oversees and directs is what she does.
All right, that's probably true.
Jared, I cut you off. You were going to say something important.
I assure you it was important. I'm good, man. Let's keep going.
All right, Joe.
Okay, another question. Should the elves be paid minimum wage for what they do? I think they work for free now, don't they? Are they for free?
Well, I think that they get their room provided, they get their housing, their medical care, the food, everything. So they got a pretty good situation there, But they do need some spending money, so they should be paid something.
Well, and the cost of living in the North Pole, I happen to know this, is much, much less than Dallas and South Florida. So really, they're getting a steal.
What do the house prices look up there, Jared?
The market's great. If you're looking, I know a guy, an affiliate.
Are there gingerbread houses that they depreciate by being eaten over time? Is that how it works?
I don't know. I think that we should get a comment in the Google Plus page from James Kinson and Ellery Wells. What do you guys think?
I agree.
Okay. I think they have exactly the perspective we're looking for on this question. James would know the car prices too, because he does cash car convert.
He will know that. Alex Harris will know something about the North Pole, I'm sure.
Nice. Well, we have one more to talk about and debate over, and that is fruitcake yummy?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Not at all.
Have you tried fruitcake?
Yes. My husband loves it. I got to buy one of those things every year.
Because all it's for is to give to relatives. Is that all it's for?
Well, it's just for him. He likes it. Like I said, that's the other side of the family. He likes fruitcake.
You know, Cynthia, I remember you last week talking about starving your children and not liking fruitcake. So it seems like there's a pattern here.
But I let them choose when they can hear Christmas music, see, so it's not all.
Joe's shaking his head.
Dan, are you chomping on fruitcake over there? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm more of a bundt cake kind of guy, but I'm not a huge fruitcake fan guy. I don't like fruitcake, let's put it that way.
Well, it's funny, fruitcake is one of those gifts that it's one of those thanks, but you shouldn't have. No, really.
But it's also one of those. Really. It's one of those that keeps on giving because you never know what's in a fruitcake. You're eating it, and suddenly you're picking out like Skittles, and then you're picking out all this other crap that you didn't even know was in a fruitcake. Like whoever baked it just like cleared off the crumbs on the counter and just made like a little cake out of it. That's what a fruitcake is.
Joe, hey. Sounds like you found some Christmas presents for the in-laws. If I wouldn't know any better.
There you go. I've been we're going shopping this weekend, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to get the in-laws. So.
Well, Christmas in Georgia will be fantastic, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it for round one. We're gonna get to round two.
Round two.
Joe, real quick, I noticed a message from Tommy Grover on the page. She said that nothing's more scarier than fruitcake, but if there was a close second, it would be the closet door being opened behind you. So she's wondering if you could close the closet door. Thanks, Dan. That was well timed.
So let's play the game. What's in Joe's closet?
My wife's shoes, and probably some more shoes.
See, excellent. Joe, you're just digging yourself deeper and deeper because Joe put on his Facebook page today a picture of all his wife's shoes and said, I never knew she had so many shoes.
It wasn't all her shoes. It was only like 30 pairs of them. That was it that I organized for her. That was her Christmas present.
So. Okay.
Well, hit round two, Dan.
Let's hit round two. And for round two today, we're going to get into entrepreneurship since this is the Entrepreneur Showdown. It's not the Joe Cassandra Christmas show as much as maybe some people like Joe might wish it would be. But so in round two today, we're going to dig into entrepreneurship a little. And what I want to do is just start with Cynthia and ask you, Cynthia, what is your definition of being an entrepreneur, and are you an entrepreneur?
My definition of an entrepreneur is somebody who wants to have their own business and really, really pursue that business more than just kind of a hobby side, you know, yeah, I'm going to go make these little things and sell them once, you know, every blue moon or something. And do I consider myself an entrepreneur? Is that the second part of your question? Yes, yeah. I do. I left my full-time job to pursue, you know, what I'm doing now full-time and nonstop, and let's jump all the way in and go for it. So I do consider myself an entrepreneur.
So if you're just doing it as a side hustle, then, like Joe or myself, then are we entrepreneurs since we're not entrepreneurs? Or is there a middle ground, or you have to be all one way or the other?
No, I don't think you have to be one way or another. I think it's like you're on the path to full-time entrepreneur. Maybe now you're just a part-time entrepreneur. But you have, you know, I think you guys have bigger goals and, you know, the intent of it becoming, you know, really substantial for you and not just, you know, kind of something you do every now and then.
Right. Well, Jared, let's get your definition, but let's also ask if you think you're an entrepreneur as well, because you're in a similar situation as we are, I believe.
I like the entrepreneur definition that Cynthia gave, and I agree with that. In addition to that, an entrepreneur is being an owner. You're owning not just your business, but you're owning your future. You're going to decide what type of lifestyle you want to live. You're going to decide what kind of clients you want to work with, what kind of products and services you want to have. You're going to decide how you're going to pursue that extra revenue if you need that. You get to make those decisions. And I think that's very exciting about being an entrepreneur. So while I might not be considered a full-time entrepreneur right this moment today, my heart is a full-time entrepreneur. And I love what that's all about, and that's my mission. So I think Cynthia's doing what, you know, she's living the dream, in my opinion.
As Joe would say, living the dream.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Well, Jared, I'll keep it with you. Since you're on this path to entrepreneurship, what was the one pivotal moment in your life or in your past that kind of put you on that path towards the desire to become an entrepreneur?
I like having some kind of say-so in what I'm going to be doing. And I was fortunate to do an interview not too long ago with a gentleman named Ralph Quintero on Starve the Doubts, and he made a comment that really struck me. He said, being an entrepreneur is actually less risky than having a corporate gig, because a corporate gig, they could lay you off, they could fire you at any point. There's a lot of what-ifs that play out with working just a regular job, whereas the entrepreneur, again, gets to make a lot of these decisions on, it gets to own the decision on what to do, what to go after, how to run the business, how to keep growing and building. Now, you asked me an interesting question, because a lot of people who are on this Hangout aren't going to know this, and I don't mind being transparent and admitting this, but I actually was let go from my day job last week, right before Christmas. So, you can imagine, this is like a whoa. And it's so funny, because for months now, I've been mentally preparing and thinking through what does it mean to be an entrepreneur. And now I'm in a scenario where I get to make some decisions that are going to be some challenging decisions, but they're going to be some decisions that I get to make. So I don't have all the answers today, but I would say just recently when that happened, that's going to become my story, and that's going to be one of the best things that ever happened to me.
So I guess that creates a little bit of urgency right now, which some people, they don't have right now. Like Dan and I, we're in a job where we enjoy what we do, and so we don't have that urgency, which has its good and bad points. And maybe you didn't have that urgency before, but now you suddenly have that urgency. So have you already seen that urgency starting to turn into action in a certain way?
Oh, yeah, totally. Now, prior to being let go, I was planning on creating some products and services, and that's something I'm going to really focus Starve the Doubts more, some of the upcoming shows on different ways that listeners can do that. And I got a few ideas, and I don't know that I'll go into full detail today, but I've got a few products in mind that I'm going to pursue. And my timeline on that has now, it's changed. Before, I had a little more of a buffer. Maybe I was a little too comfortable, and now I realize, okay, now it's time. And fortunately, I have a situation where I have a podcast, and I'm blessed with people who are gracious enough to listen and support me. And I believe now when I bring this product out, it's going to be something that people will support. And I don't pretend that that's going to take care of all the problems, but it's a step in the right direction. I'm pumped about it.
We got Shay Harms in the Q&A section that says you're going to be just like Pat Flynn, let go, which is going to be that big that big moment for you that's going to get you on the right path. So, Jared, I want to stay with you since you did this. Is your goal 100% then to do this on your own now? You're not pursuing kind of jumping back into work, being an employee right now?
Well, the temptation is certainly to do that. I mean, the ideal scenario would be for people who are watching this, have 6 to 18 months worth of income. Now, Cynthia, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but when you made the decision to jump from being a nurse to being a full-time entrepreneur, did you have 6 to 18 months of income set aside?
No.
Maybe you did. Okay, no. She didn't. So there you go. Not everyone has that, and I'm guilty of not having that too. So, yeah, there is a sense of urgency. And fortunately, I have some good connections, and I've got some contracting work that I'm going to start with. And that's going to be some things that's going to tie me over. But I'm thinking, what do I need to do to create an economic plan, an economic model? And I'm going to be seeking advice from smart people, and I'm going to be working hard on that. And I may not have all the answers again right now, but I have enough people to go to get good wisdom from. I have a lot of ideas, and I think now it's time to take some action. I've read enough books. I've attended enough webinars. I've been to conferences. Now it's go time. So it'll be interesting to see how these things play out. I'm a little bit anxious, but at the same time, if Cynthia can do it, you can do it too.
Exactly. Well,
I'm glad you said that. So Cynthia, so you're sitting here. We just heard Jared and he just put his antlers back on, I guess we could call him, and his hat. So I guess we got.
I was inspired by Steve.
Back in a, we got Christmas Jared back. So Cynthia, you've been in the same situation as Jared, but you took that leap maybe more voluntarily. But what can you tell Jared that maybe you learned that you didn't expect that could help get him on the right path and maybe the biggest mistake that he should avoid that you didn't avoid?
Well, I think he started out with his attitude already and his outlook on things and being so positive and just, this is now and I can do this and I can take this as an opportunity. I wish I had more of his confidence when I first started and when I really made this decision. I was very hesitant, very reluctant, and still, really didn't have very many connections or really know a lot of people to help kind of guide me or inspire me or even ask questions of when I made that leap. I was still pretty much just blogging, and behind my computer and had a couple of clients. So I applaud him for his positivity and really wanting to just jump in there and do it. And I think he can do it. And I think that's one of the most important things behind this. There was just, I'm going to bring Pinterest into this, of course. There was a article recently with an interview, and I guess it was a video interview with the co-founder of Pinterest, Ben Silverman. And when they're really getting Pinterest going, he was looking for, he wanted the best engineers to work with him and to help him develop Pinterest. And they were saying, yeah, sure. And he's like, why are they wanting to work for us, and that kind of stuff. And he's like, we can't guarantee you that it's going to be 100% success, but it's going to be a hell of an adventure going through this. So let's just give it a try, because if you don't try, you just don't know. And I got to say, I'm not 100%, multimillionaire successful or, have the lavish lifestyle on the beach and work from the beach kind of life, but it has been one hell of an adventure to the point where I'm at now. I've gotten to do so many things and experienced so much and have grown and learned so much about myself in this past couple of years. So I think that's going to be a really big part of it, I guess, for Jared as well.
Well, you got to meet someone famous today. Who'd you meet today, Cynthia?
I did. I got to meet the Woz, Steve Wozniak, today. That was pretty incredible.
If this was Facebook, I'd click like.
I'm sorry?
Did you get to ask him anything specific?
No, there were so many people around him. It was nothing but everybody just switching cameras. Just switching cameras, and everybody was wanting to get a picture with him. So I snuck in and got one as well. So there's not many times that you get to really take a picture with somebody that is played a big role in our society and culture and how we do things. So it was a real treat today.
Cynthia, I'm going to ask you that same question that we asked Jared that got us on that last topic, and that's, what was the most pivotal moment in your past that put you on the entrepreneurial path?
This specific entrepreneurial path, I guess, and in the past I did have those kind of hobby side things, back in, me and my mom would go to craft shows and do all these crazy little crafty things together, but that wasn't serious business. And I think my Santa's falling off my sweater. But
hold on. Okay, show your sweater to
Don't
the camera.
Let go of Santa.
Bad Santa.
Okay, show your bad sweater. Santa. Okay, Santa. There's Santa. Hey.
She made that too, I think.
But yeah. It was actually for this entrepreneurial path that I'm on right now, it was a podcast of all things. I had, have been a listener to podcasts for a really long time, but mostly for entertainment or, just fun kind of shows. That was one thing, another thing the whole family could agree on, listening to different podcasts, stories and that type of stuff. And it's like, okay, there's got to be something else. Let me look, through the iTunes library, and I stumbled across Pat Flynn's podcast, and it happened to be one of the episodes, I'm not sure if he's been on multiple times, but where it was him and Cliff Ravenscraft. And they were talking about having an online business and passive income and all these things. Like, wait, what do you mean you can have a business just online and, start a blog and do all these crazy things? Oh, you can't do that. So I listened to every single podcast he had up until that time, and it was like 30-something, and really took it all in. I was like, okay, yeah, I can do something. Why don't I just start off with a blog? At that time, one of my older daughters had a blog. She's like, well, she's got a blog. I can do that. And all the bloggers that I follow, they're not, you know, rocket scientists or IT pros. You know, I should be able to do this. And, you know, found out that there was a bit of a learning curve to, you know, really getting on WordPress and getting that going. So I decided to, you know, start one about Pinterest for fun, just to figure it all out, and then later on I was going to start a serious business and figure out how to maybe get into affiliate marketing or do something different. But then, you know, one thing led to another, and here I am, and it's all still Pinterest.
So this is an honest question. Do you like podcasting, or do you do it because people tell you to? Because there's not a lot of women podcasters out there. It's mostly men. I mean, yeah, there's
podcasting. I prefer to podcast over blogging.
Amen. That's what I feel too. I was just curious because you don't see a lot of women doing it. You don't see them. I don't know if it's a self-awareness type thing or...
sure why, because we like to gab. We like to talk. You know, we like to share our opinion. So I'm really not sure why there aren't more women into podcasting.
Well, Joe, since you turned your question on me, I'll turn my question on you. What was your pivotal moment?
I only knew what like entrepreneurship was like 2 years ago or something. And I was watching The Social Network, the Facebook movie or whatever. And, at that time, like, I was about to graduate college, and I was going to, of course, like, get a job because that's what everyone tells you to do. And you think that that's what you're always supposed to do is just do that forever. 'Cause that's what my dad did, his dad forever. Amen. And like these kids, I know there were people use the excuse that they were whiz kids, but they figured out that they could build something and that people would want it. And even if they started out with something that maybe was cool but wasn't gonna go anywhere, he kept at it and made something else and iterated from there. And I realized that, hey, you can actually build something and build a lifestyle out of that instead of just kind of doing what everyone else does. And I don't like to do what everyone else does anyway. So that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. And I was like Cynthia, I found Pat Flynn and dragged my feet for a long time. And so now I'm still young, so I got plenty of time. I know that. And I'm still learning a lot on the way, but just the connections that I've built in the past couple months have just been phenomenal to not just building a network, but also just your confidence. Like, you don't feel that fear anymore. You kind of just, you just know you have this community around you that always help you out.
Now, Joe, you quoted some Randy Travis in that, in your answer. Do you mind singing us a couple of bars of that?
Which one, what did I quote of Randy Travis?
I believe you ended with Amen.
I did. Amen. All right, I don't know Randy Travis's stuff.
We got a fake Southern guy in the house. Where are you really from, Joe? Come on, expose your true colors.
Yeah. Well, I was born in Virginia, but grew up in Georgia. But everyone says I have a Northern accent, so I'm probably more Northern than Southern, I guess.
I think Cynthia is prepared to sing some Randy Travis.
Oh, you don't want me to do that. No way.
All right.
So you're not participating in the mashup festivities. Well, Jared,
please, don't mean.
Trying to get some singing going, and it's not going to be me. We had Joe do it last time. Jared, there was a special request. That's right. There was a special request in this past week that you didn't sing your whatever it was, your holiday Christmas carol. So now's your chance. Mike's on you, Jared.
My holiday Christmas carol.
Well,
my Christmas carol of choice.
Yeah.
I have no shame. If Joe can sing on this show and be called the A word, I can do that. So let's just do this and knock this out. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. That's all you're getting, guys.
Woo! Give us a pause.
Yeah, wham! Who knew?
Give us applause. We're hitting the sound effects here. Stall. There we go.
There you go. Ding dong.
And then we get... That's what I meant to hit there. Sorry, Jared. All right. I think that's enough for round two, so let's get on to the main event and Joe.
It's time for the main event.
Me. So, do we have any questions?
We do have questions.
Yeah, we have questions. I'll kick off one of the first ones, and it's...
I'm not really... Where am I supposed to look for these questions?
The questions are coming in on the event page, Joe, so I'll pick one up here. And someone I guess we're going to ask all four of us. We'll go around the horn here, starting with Cynthia. Who would be the best interview for you to get on your show?
Oh, Ben Silverman, definitely. That would be like cream of the crop, ultimate end-all be-all. That would be it.
No question about it. Why?
To really see what his vision is in how it can help business owners, and especially the small business owner, and what he thinks about that, since that really wasn't the intent, you know, when he started. It was a place to share your interests, but now it's definitely developed into something more that, you know, can be used by businesses, and it's going more and more in that way as they bring out, you know, the new features of it. So I'd really like to get his insight on it and what he thinks about it.
Have you ever emailed him?
No, we've tweeted each other one time. That's as close as it got.
I emailed him once, and he emailed me back.
And? What did he say?
You don't want to hear this story.
All right, come on, Joe. You open the can. You got to go with it now.
Maybe another time. It's okay.
Joe, you got to go. Hey, we don't keep secrets on this show.
Yeah, it's an embarrassing story. But, I guess it was, a couple years ago when, Pinterest was just, starting out, and my wife was getting into it. And I was like, oh, this would be, the best investment opportunity ever, because if this takes off, it'll be huge. So I found his email, and it wasn't a Pinterest email, it was some other email, and I emailed him, and I said, hey, this app's really cool. I want to be in on it. I didn't say it as cool as this, but I said, I want to be in on this. I got a couple G's. I'll throw them down for you to invest in Pinterest. And he emailed me back. He's like, oh, he was very nice about it. He's like, oh, we're not looking for funding, but you're really sweet, pretty much. And then I Googled Pinterest later, and they had just raised $10, $20 million or something. So yeah. My couple of G's didn't really faze him very much, but that was the last time I talked to him.
Oh, so. Well, at least he was nice enough to respond back.
But hey, I'm one for one in talking to him, so maybe he'll remember. Maybe he'll remember me, and he'll come on our show, and then I'll refer him to you, and he'll go
on
your show.
Perfect, well, love it.
Let's go to Jared with this question about who your ideal or your dream guest would be. And I'm not sure you want to share any of these stories, but I know in the past you've reached out to people that have actually turned you down. So I don't know if those people would qualify, or if you have some other people that you are kind of pie in the sky with.
Oh no, I'm willing to throw stones. So I made the mistake of asking Marie Forleo for an interview, and I mean, it was laughable because her team, which I'm sure they mean well, they wrote me back, and they weren't just like no, they were like basically hell no. So that was kind of like, wow, I didn't expect that, you know, like, but I have a podcast. Who doesn't want to be on my podcast? But no disrespect to her. I would like to talk to her at some point because I think she's done some pretty cool stuff. Mark Cuban. I think that's everybody's, or not everybody's.
Yeah,
a lot of people would like to talk to Mark Cuban. And just recently when I was in Dallas for the Platform Conference, I had a chance to hang out with you guys. And afterward, Dan and I and Ellery and Hutch, we went to the Mavericks game. And I remember sitting at the Mavericks game and just looking and seeing Mark Cuban just across the way. And I had this fantasy in my mind of how can I get over there with my iPhone and here, let me ask you a question, you know? And yeah, I didn't do that, obviously.
Well, they won, so it may have...
They did win.
He may have been more cheery than if they had lost, because he's not happy when they lose, so...
No, I would love to talk to Mark Cuban. I'd like to talk to Sir Richard Branson, too. I think he's done some pretty interesting things last time I checked. So, yeah, man. Anybody has instant access to any of those people, you know, I'm your Huckleberry. So,
all right. Joe, what about who's your ideal guest for the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast?
Well, I guess not really famous people like CEOs of big companies, but Ramit Sethi, I always like to follow his stuff. And he doesn't really do that many interviews ever. But, I mean, if you've ever gone to his site, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, it sounds spammy, but it's actually a wealth of knowledge. And he's probably the only one that I subscribe to. Like, I subscribe to a lot of different email lists, and he's the only one that I open up every email from because it's that good every time. Other people, to be honest, sometimes I just delete it after I read the subject line. But his, I open it every time because it's got amazing stuff. But if you send him, like, a testimony of like, you've used his material, he'll answer you. But if you just say, hey, do you want to call my show or whatever, they don't answer that stuff, so... Maybe that's the key. Send a testimony and then try and work in an interview request. But usually he turns down interview requests.
Well, I'll hop in here with mine, and it's nice and quick, and it's no longer valid. But it used to be Gary Vaynerchuk before he went on his latest spree of being on everyone's podcast. And I did hear a story that now to get on his podcast, you have to, or get him on your podcast, you have to buy a certain number of his books. And then, you know, you can do whatever you want with them, give them out to your audience. And I noticed that, you know, Pat Flynn and stuff now are there giving away 100 copies of his books and all these things. So now it's just a matter of if you want to pay the price to get them on. And I'm not a big fan of that. But, you know, I don't like that either. And, you know, that brings up something, and this may or may not be a touchy subject, but it was brought out into the open forum. So this is maybe a Q&A that I'm asking you guys as veteran podcasters, Jared and Cynthia. But someone put on one of the Facebook groups that now John Dumas is charging people to be on Entrepreneur on Fire. So, you know, Joe could be an Entrepreneur on Fire guest if he were to pay the set price, you know, to John. And I want to know your guys' opinions on that. So, Cynthia, we'll start with you.
Well, I was just interviewed by him yesterday, and I wasn't charged.
No, because you're a premier guest, but there's other people that are reaching out to him to be on the show, and that's how they can get on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's you know, his business and the way he's building it, you know. So I think that would be up to him. He's got a huge audience and a huge reach. So it will, you know, it can do a lot for you, you know, if you're really trying to connect with the people that listen to him. So it could be a big deal for your business. I know being on Social Media Examiner, you know, the Social Media Weekly or Social Media podcast, I forget. I've been up since 4 this morning, so I'm a little punch drunk right now.
Mike Stelzer's podcast.
Yeah, there you go. When I was on that podcast, I got a lot of, you know, feedback and followers and, you know, questions and even clients from that. So, you know, it could make a big difference. So there is some value. So, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea. That's up to him. I don't think I would ever go that route, but I think that's up to him.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of presenting the question because we're all friends with John. I think we all know him and we all, you know, like John. But it's just that's like you said, that's his preference to do. And Jared, what do you think? Is that something, you know, you support, you are against? What do you think?
I think he controls the guest list. So if he feels like that's a good fit, I don't have any problem with it. Because at the end of the day, he's interviewing entrepreneurs. And if entrepreneurs are serious and they're approaching him, and instead of rejecting them and saying, no, you can't be on my show, it's kind of a PC move, really. It's kind of smart. Yeah, I don't have any problem with it.
And, you know, we're all podcasters, so I'll ask this to you, Joe. Do you think that this kind of practice, and not saying that he's doing it often, but just the fact that we know at least he's doing it a little, do you think this has a risk of diluting the quality of the show?
I mean, he may be testing the price point, and I'm sure if he gets a lot of people that are willing to pay $700 for that kind of exposure, then he'll probably just keep raising the price limit till it doesn't dilute it. And he's always said he doesn't want to put so much into it that it dilutes his show. I mean, I think he has like 3 pre-rolls or something like that. And I mean, if you listen to the show, you don't really notice him that much. I mean, he puts him in the beginning, middle, and end, so... He's always said that he doesn't want to dilute a show. So if it gets to a point where there's all these people, thousands of people coming forward with a $700 check, then I'm sure he'd raise it until there's not that many people that he has to pick and choose from.
Well, Jared, let me get a question from Tommy. We all know Tommy Grover, and she has a question for you. Well, she has a list of questions, but one that I want to ask you. How did you decide on the format or the style of your podcast? Because your style is a lot different. You ask some funny questions and some unique questions, but then you kind of roll into some serious questions. How did you come upon that format itself?
Well, I attended New Media Expo, just like Cynthia, back in January of this year. And one of the biggest things that I enjoyed about that was actually talking with someone like Pat Flynn or John Dumas. And not just talking about business, but also hearing about John Dumas really enjoys water skiing. You know, oh, I didn't know that. Well, that was interesting to me. And I thought, how cool would it be to get to talk to these people and learn some business stuff, but also just learn a little bit about them. And there's more of that now. I'm sure you've heard other podcasts that tend to open that up a little bit more. But when I first started, there wasn't much of that, if any. And so it was kind of a fun way to be unique. And I'll be honest with you, I had some people tell me straight out of the gate that not only they disliked it, but that they thought I was a complete waste of time. Like, I was wasting the guest's time, and I was like, you're not my target audience. So, you know, I've got a lot of people that have enjoyed it, and I don't know, I think it's fun. So, it's interesting. At the very least, someone who listens to my show is likely to learn something new about the guests that they would not have known otherwise, and I'm cool with that.
Cynthia, a question that I'll throw your way, and this from James Kinnison, he was asking about equipment, mixers, digital recorders, things like that, and I know you have one of the, I would say, the most prolific podcast on the panel between the three of our shows. So what kind of equipment do you use for your show?
I am bare bones basic. I have, let's see if I can pull it up, a Blue Yeti, and that is it. And it goes straight into my computer. I don't do the mixer. I don't do the digital recorder, which I know is risky. But I did not have the brain capacity to look at all those numbers and dials and cords and try to figure it all out when I first started to get, you know, started my podcast. I wanted to keep it easy. So it's that. I use Skype to record, or GarageBand and Skype to record my interviews. I use SoundFlower and Line-In to get the Skype to talk to GarageBand, and that's it.
All right, very cool. Well, one more that's kind of a question that popped up in a couple different ways on the question and answer portion of this, and that's podcasting with maybe your spouse or significant other. And Christian over at the was asking, and he has the Days podcast, which he and his wife talk about every day, Days of Our Lives. They put a new episode up, which is, you know, more power to them. I couldn't do a daily podcast, and I couldn't do one about Days of Our Lives, but they have a loyal following, and I know it's growing, so that's pretty awesome. But let's start back with you, Joe. Have you ever or would you ever consider doing a podcast with a spouse?
Well, I was talking with my wife because she loves doing like crafts and doing Pinterest and stuff like that. And I just got her to start her like blog because she makes a lot of cool stuff and she takes pictures of the steps, but she never puts them anywhere. She just keeps them on her phone. And so I finally convinced her like, hey, you should do this. You get to meet a lot of people. And so she just started hers on Saturday. If we ever did a joint podcast, it would probably be about like relationships and stuff if we ever did, but we haven't talked about it because, she loves writing more than podcasting and I love podcasting more than writing. So we haven't found that happy medium yet. Maybe it's video. I don't know.
Jared, what about you?
Oh, I love my wife. I think she's absolutely beautiful and amazing and wonderful, and I adore her. And let the record – this is being recorded, right?
Yeah.
Her passion is not podcasting. So if she really had an interest in doing a podcast, I think that would be a lot of fun because I'm interested in it. That's not necessarily her passion. So right now that's probably unlikely. But if she was interested, yes.
Cynthia?
My husband was actually my very first guest on my podcast, and he'll be on a special episode coming up here in the near future.
Cool.
We've kind of talked a little bit about maybe doing one together, but it's that topic. What would we podcast about? But it's a possibility. Maybe sometime in the future we'll do one together.
Yeah, it's hard because with husband and wife, like you have common interests. I mean, that's why you got married. But it may not be interests that you would podcast about. So. It's finding that specific topic to nail down.
Yeah, yeah. And I think once we do find that one, then maybe Maybe we'll do it.
What about you, Dan? Jeanette, is she joining up soon?
You know, I'm kind of opposite of you guys. I've actually tried to get her to do a couple of things with me, and she just has very little interest. And you know, same with Jared. I love her, and we get along great. And we have we have a lot of things in common, but for whatever reason, I playing around. I've got her behind the microphone, but I haven't got her to commit to anything yet. And I have a ton of great ideas, but it's just a matter of getting her on board. But it's not.
She was the one. I don't know if we said this last week or it was a recent episode, but you were like, "Hey, isn't it cool? Like lifestyle entrepreneurs, they travel from country to country and live in wherever they want." And she's like, "Why the hell would you do that?"
Yeah,
it's like, I want to live in a house in Dallas forever.
Yeah, I tried to pitch her on the idea. Yeah, this is what a lifestyle entrepreneur is. We don't have to have a house. We don't have to have very much. We can just live a month in each city and just keep traveling for years at a time. And that wasn't flying. So
she's like, why would you do that? That's funny. I don't know if we said that last week or not, but
no, we said it before, not on the holiday mashup yet. So let's get to wrap up. Let's find out what everyone is working on currently, because as entrepreneurs, we're always have ideas to either do different things or we're actually doing different things on the side. So Cynthia, what are you working on other than the things we know about right now?
Well, I'm just really planning out what Oh So Pinteresting is going to do in 2014. I'm thinking about adding, you know, kind of building up a team around me and around the business and that type of thing. So I'm talking to a couple of people about that and how to go about that, and talking about somebody, you know, kind of joining up with me a little bit more so I could really expand the business. You know, just like I said today, I was up at 4. I spoke this morning. I got a podcast to do tonight. You know, I'm here recording with you guys tonight. So sometimes it gets a little much. And, you know, I think if I had, you know, a team that we could do more together. So looking into that for next year.
Well, I'll put you on the spot. Is there a concrete goal that 1 year from now, December 10th, 2014, that you have wanted to accomplish?
I haven't thought that far yet.
Yeah, I'll me neither. So.
I will have it done maybe by let's say New Year's Eve. I want to have a really good, you know, what do I want? It'll come.
Well, Jared, you mentioned there was stuff you're working on that you're not necessarily ready to reveal yet, but is there anything you can tell us about what you've got coming up in the future?
Absolutely. One of the things that I encourage anybody out here who's going to listen to this on the podcast or is watching in the Google Hangout is ask people what kind of questions that they would like for you to answer and see what kind of response you get to that. And Tommy Grover, who's watching right now, she actually encouraged me with this recently. It's if somebody asks you or you get the same question three times or more, then that's probably something that you can turn into a product. So for me, I've really examined that. What are some questions that I've been getting? What are people wanting me to answer? And based on that, I'm going to create some products and services. And I will be announcing that soon, but I'm not going to let that out just yet.
And what is your 1 year from now, where do you want yourself to be? I'll ask that since
I want to be
on the spot.
I want to be the Cynthia Sanchez. I want to live the dream. I want the Santa shirt and all. So I want to starve my kids. No, seriously, man. I do. I really love what Cynthia's doing. I love how she so nonchalantly said, "Yeah, I was interviewed by John Dumas yesterday." Like that's normal. So
yeah.
I want to live the dream. I want to be like Cynthia. I really believe it's possible. You can do it. You just gotta dig deep. You gotta be smart. And you gotta have good people around you. But yeah, that's the goal. So be self-sufficient. I want to be an owner. I want to be an entrepreneur full time this time next year.
Like it. Now, Joe, what are you working on, and where do you plan to be or want to be 1 year from today?
Well, stuff that we work on together, you already know what we work on. But right now we're testing some ideas just for building our audience. But and I like to test ideas too, just for my purposes. But 1 year from now, I want to say that we have made $20,000 in side income. Concrete number I'm putting down there, $20,000.
There you go. That was a little weaker than I wanted it to be, but it was there. All right, well, I'll share mine. I think I like Joe's 20 grand number, but I'll make it 20 grand each. How about that?
Woo! I like that. Good one. I'll take 20 myself.
Yeah. But so what I'm working on the side is you know, I'm a full-time CPA. I work with small business owners and entrepreneurs doing tax planning and tax consulting, and I'd really like to start generating some more leads for that myself, because I feel like I talk with a bunch of entrepreneurs, I talk with a bunch of small business owners, and I really think there's value there that I can provide them. So I'm going to start trying to see if I can lend my hand there as well, because Joe, you and I talk about on our podcast a lot that what we're doing here with podcasting and blogging, we're amateurs trying to learn with this, but you know, I do have what I would consider a specialty that I'm not an amateur at, that I think I can provide value. So that's where I'm going. And yeah, let's go 20,000 each this time next year. Let's do it. All right. Well, to wrap up this episode, I don't think we've shown off our ugly everythings fully. Joe, what is that thing hanging around your neck? I still don't know.
Well, I couldn't get to the store to get an ugly sweater because we were iced in the past like 5-6 days or so. But I have a cute little, because I like to cook up trouble, I have an apron for cooking up trouble.
I'm so glad I asked.
Wow.
Jared, what is that around your neck?
Okay, so this is inspired by Cynthia, of course. This is Santa Claus. Here, let me get that up. So we got Santa on one side, and we got Santa's feet on the other. So Santa is basically wrapped around me. I've got my season's greeting tie, and it is musical, again, to pay tribute to Joe. Stylish and good tunes. And it plays and plays.
Jingle bells.
Yeah, that's right. And then I have a festive hat, which there's two of them here. There's one that's, I believe they called it the ram horns. They're candy canes. And then this one is the Santa's helper. So.
So it's kind of like when we kill animals and we wear them as coats. You, like, killed Santa and you wear them around your neck.
Yeah, well, the elves are on strike because they only get minimum wage.
So there you go.
I figured I'd help them out.
And Cynthia, now we deemed this an ugly sweater party, but there's only one of us wearing a sweater at all. So, and yours isn't very ugly, but one more time, show us what you're sporting here tonight.
Well, I had to make it. Because, like you guys, I've been snowed in.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah. So I had to get a Santa here for my sweater.
All right, well, I'll wrap it up and show what I'm wearing. And this is a naughty Christmas sweater, but I still found one that was somewhat clean.
Wait, all right, Jared, say something. So, there you go.
It's the most wonderful time for a beer.
It's the most wonderful time for a beer.
There you go. Great. So on that,
much on, inebriation.
Joe, I'm trying to end it before you sing any more songs, if you notice. So Cynthia, this is going to wrap it up for this round two of the holiday mashup and of the Entrepreneur Showdown. But you are hosting next week's December. What's the date?
December 17th,
live on Google Hangouts at holidaymashup.net. You're hosting your round, so can you tell us what we can expect there?
Well, we're going to be talking about kind of wrapping this all up, I guess, in a nice, pretty package about how you guys can wrap your shows and your plans and your projects into nice, pretty packages and get them out there. We're going to talk more about marketing all of this stuff with a holiday twist. But mostly about, now we know why we did this and what, you know, our hesitations were from, you know, on Jared's show and on your show today. We talked about what our plans and our goals are for our businesses. So next week we're going to talk about how we can get out there with Pinterest and, you know, maybe in a couple of other social networks in there as well.
Love it. So for the show notes of today's episode and to get links to all the guests and everything we talked about and, check out the video as well. Head on over to entrepreneurshowdown.com and holidaymashup.net, and we will see you next week with Cynthia Sanchez. Ho, ho,
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Entrepreneur Showdown. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'd love it if you join us every Monday morning to hear the latest episode of the Entrepreneur Showdown podcast. Remember, the place to go to find the show notes of today's episode and a whole lot more is www.entrepreneurshowdown.com.
And while you're there, leave us your email address to find out about upcoming guests, latest episode releases, and a whole lot more.